Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday AM, September 6th, 2009.
Why are you here this morning? Why did you come this morning? I suppose that each one of you could give several reasons for being here this morning, and the scripture can add to them. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the 23rd verse, Hebrews 10 and 23, let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here we have a number of reasons why we gather together every first day of the week. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith. We make known unto all the profession of our faith, what it is that we believe, what it is that ennobles our life, the gospel that we espouse, without wavering. And let us consider one another. Perhaps you came today to worship. Perhaps you came today to find help from the Lord for yourself. Perhaps you have problems you need to bring to the Lord, all of which are very good reasons to come. But let us consider one another. We come together also for each other. Whether you come, never say a word, never do anything, but participate in the service, your presence is a blessing to others. And the more of us that are present, the greater the blessing to one and all. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke or to incite unto love and to good works, to encourage one another in this profession of our faith, to encourage one another in the Christian life, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, that is, encouraging each other. And here is the last one mentioned here, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And the day approaching here is not Sunday. It's the day of the coming of our Lord, the day of the grand end to this age, the day when we shall stand in his presence. All of these are good and valid reasons for our gathering together instead of staying home to mow the lawn, as so many others do. It says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. This sermon was written to second generation Christians, to the generation following the first believers. And already the faith of some of them had grown cold. The vision of some of them had grown dim, and they were forsaking the assembling together in honor of the Lord and in his name. And it is the same today. When we lived in New Mexico, I called on a mission hospital on the Indian reservation. They bought medications and medical supplies from my company, and I got to know some of them rather well. They were good, Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians. In order to get to the hospital, one passed the church. It was a humble building built of native stone, but in front of the church there was a sign, and that sign said, "For the hour shall be filled with music and with song and praise and prayer. And the burden of life shall be lifted for all who enter there." I've thought about that sign many times. And ever since our beginning to assemble here, that has been my prayer for this church, for this congregation, for every member of the congregation, that when we gather together, the hour shall be filled with music and with song and praise and prayer, and your burden of life shall be lifted whenever you enter here. If that is one of the reasons why you have come today, I hope and I believe you will find the burden of life lifted by your having come in faith to worship the Lord. And that it happens in many different ways. In the 46th Psalm, we read, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." God is our refuge, and we live in His presence at all times. But there is a special way in which we enter into His presence when we gather together in the name of His Son. As He Himself said, "Wherever two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them." Though we live ever in the presence of God, when we gather together, He is here with us. Whenever three gather together in His name, four are present. God is our refuge and strength. And that is what this place is intended to be. This building is not holy. It is only made holy by the presence of the holy congregation of the people of God, as we will see from the scriptures in a moment. But may this place be a refuge from the world. 5 or 6 days a week we spend out in the world. And we spend our time in the matters of the world, the matters of earning a living and applying our various ways of life. And the ways of the world become weary, don't they? And the attitudes of the world tend to rub off on us. One of the blessings of the first covenant was to establish one day in seven, to lay aside the pursuit of the world and to pursue that which is of ultimate value. To enter into the presence of God, to find our God a refuge in time of trouble. May this place be a place of refuge from the world, where we realize what a refuge we have from God, and where we not only can take a retreat from the world in order to enter upon it again on the following day, for he never intended for Christians to cloister themselves into a hermitage. He never intended for Christians to withdraw from the world, for Jesus in his prayer for us said, I pray not, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one, that he keep them in the world. And yet when he was here on earth, he drew his disciples away from the throngs of commerce and the ways of the weak. And he said, come ye apart yourselves into a deserted place and rest a while. It is a refuge from the world. It is a time of bringing our cares and leaving them checking them at the door and not picking them up when we leave. It is a time of refuge from the cares of the world and of this life. I hope that's why you come this morning. I hope that's what this gathering is for you today, a refuge from the life we live on earth, a refuge from the cares and the sorrows and the trials of life. For that is what is meant, intended by this first day of the week when we gather together. Then again, in the 73rd Psalm, we read, the God is our sanctuary, and here is where we meet him, in his sanctuary. In the 73rd Psalm, truly, God is good to Israel and to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps well nigh slipped. He knew God was good to his people, the psalmist did. And yet, at times, it did not seem so. For I was envious of the foolish, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm, and they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. You've seen people like that. Perhaps you've envied them. Perhaps you felt like the psalmist here. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. And every weekday, every workday, every day out in thy world, you come in contact with people just like this. Not everybody, of course, and happily. And sometimes you even come in contact with believers out there. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters are full, cup are wrung out unto them. And they say, how doth God know? And where is knowledge in the Most High? They live as though there were no God. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. There's no profit in it, as the world would see. And washed my hands in innocency, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them on a slippery places and cast them down in destruction. Until the psalmist came into the sanctuary of God, where the people of God gathered to worship, he had become depressed. He had become disconcerted. But when he came into the sanctuary, into the place where the people of God gather, and God himself gathers together with him, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood. If you came here this morning to get a different perspective on life, if you came here to get a different perspective on our nation or on the world, this is the place to come and, as the world would say, have an attitude adjustment, to get the perspective from God's side. God's in his heaven, and all's well with the world, as one poet put it. We come into the sanctuary for a different perspective, and there we meet with our fellow believers, with the God of heaven. And again, I say this building itself is not a sanctuary. It is a sanctuary because the people of God gather here. This is one of the local places where there is a sanctuary, one of the local places where the people of God gather. And in the 114th Psalm we read, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. They did not have a tabernacle to worship in as yet when they went out of Egypt. They later erected one at God's command where he would meet with them. But the people of God was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. It is as we gather together in the name of his Son that we enter into the presence of God, that we find a sanctuary where we find relief from the burden of life, that it may be lifted, where we find a perspective different from that of the ordinary life, where we can check in our cares and leave them there, where we can approach unto the throne of grace and receive grace to help in time of need. I've been impressed often by Brother Doug's, the pastors interviewing visitors at times, and he says, are you looking for a church home? This is our church home. And it is a refuge as our own home should be. It is a sanctuary, as our own home should be. But it is collectively our home where the family of God gathers together. It is our spiritual home. And we read in the book of Paul's letter to the Philippians, in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul enjoyed dual citizenship. He enjoyed the citizenship of Rome, and he benefited from it. He was a citizen of his own country, the land of Israel, of his own people. And he uses that dual citizenship as an illustration. There are people today who have dual citizenship in two different countries. But here, the apostle says, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens here of this, our country also. And we are to exercise the obligations of citizenship here. But we are to remember that we are citizens of heaven. As the worthies of the old covenant were related in the book of Hebrews, it said they were pilgrims and strangers. They looked for another city. They declared that they were citizens of another country. We are citizens of heaven. Frequently, you will notice a hotel chain that will advertise itself as your home away from home. Well, this church home here is our home away from home, because our home is in heaven. As the apostle wrote, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Lord, our Lord, to come. So this is our home away from home. So we gather together today for a refuge from the world. We gather together in a sanctuary as the people of God for worship and for grace to help in our times of need. But we also gather together this first day of the week as a family reunion. We are the family of God because we are the children of God by faith in His Son. So we gather together here as a family reunion, and as in every family reunion, there are different kinds of people there, different pursuits in life. And in John's first letter, he likened the Christian fellowship to a family. And he wrote unto this particular local group of Christians. And he said, I have written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the world nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he addresses them as little children. And he addresses them as fathers. He addresses them as young men. And he addresses them as older children, showing that in the Christian fellowship, in the family of God, there are different stages of spiritual development. There are different experiences in the Christian life. A home with little ones may be a chaotic home, but is also a happy home. And a church with new believers, newly come to faith, is a happy church. In a home, there are adults. There are young people. In any extended family, there is every age of life and every experience of life. Just so in the family of God. But we all come together as a family. And we help one another as a family. So every first day of the week is a family reunion. It is family time, so to speak. I remember years ago when Norton and Sharon's children were young, he told me, "No, it is not a burden to drive 20 and 25 minutes to come to church and 20 and 25 minutes to go back. Because you see, I have the whole family in the car with me. And it's family time." And we talk to the children and they talk to us. When we gather together here, it's family time. And time and effort spent to come here is well spent when you're coming to meet with your family, when you're coming with a family reunion. And then again, turning to the 13th chapter of that beautiful sermon in Hebrews, in the 13th chapter and in the 22nd verse, we read, "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer a word of exhortation." Suffer a word of exhortation to remember why we gather here, to remember why it is important, and to remember the benefits that we receive from one another. We're going to celebrate our family relationship this morning, that we are brothers and sisters by the blood of Jesus. We are blood kin by the blood shed on Calvary. And we gather together as the family to remember that sacrifice that unites us. Because we are a varied group. We come from very different backgrounds, very different social experiences, very different paths in life. But when we gather together here, we are one family, and we celebrate it with this communion once every month. And if there are any visitors here who belong to the Heavenly Father, who belong to the Lord Jesus, who have in your profession professed your faith in Him, you are one with us, one in this family.